First down on the 24. Maybe two.
Don't be surprised to see him go for the end zone here.
Kelly's pass. Caught. Touchdown. Steve Tasker.
In the hierarchy of Buffalo receivers, the last name you come to is Steve Tasker. But that's exactly who gets this football. Running in the slot to the left-hand side, and I think Kelly had him all the way.
All right.
Who's that on the call there?
Catching strays.
Yeah,
what
the? It was a touchdown.
I can't remember who that was. That was.
It's not Randy Cross, is it?
It might have been, but I don't think so. Right. It might have been Cricky or Trump. I don't know.
Yeah. Steve Tasker with us Trump. Here from training camp. Yeah. And that would have happened in a red helmet. Welcome back to the red helmets, right?
Yeah, that. How about it? The day before, it was like, it's not happening. And they don't tell us anything. You know, on One Bill's Drive, they don't tell us on One Bill's Live, they don't tell us anything. So they don't want us to break that kind of stuff because they got, you know, plans for all of that information. And we were like, hey, I was like, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, final season in the stadium. Steve Tasker here with us from St. John Fisher. Just saw the quarterbacks walk out on the field. So practice going to get started shortly. Saw Josh and the other two, Mike White and Mitch Trubisky. So, yeah, I mean, final year in the stadium.
Yeah,
is it? You feel like it's meaningful, or do you think you'll kind of get to there?
It is for me. All of it's meaningful. We already have, like, I've got family members. I got three older brothers, and they've been literally coming up to Buffalo for 38 years to watch games. I have two older brothers. I'm an old guy, and I have my older brothers. One's 65, almost 66, and the other one's 70. Right, so we're an old bunch of guys. They're coming up for a month. Mm. They're going to stay at the house. They're going to the opener. They're staying through the Jets game, and they're going to the next three home games.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, that it means something to them. It means something to me too. So, and then, you know, my nieces and my nephews and all, they're all, we got people in and out of the house all season because they want to be in the stadium for this last year. It's pretty cool.
You said they're staying through the Jet game. That's the other thing too, is like, for a lot of fans, like, every game will be someone's last game at the stadium. Like, not
that's
like
right.
If you're a season ticket holder, obviously you'd probably be there till the end. But for many, like, that opener might be the last one.
That's
the Saints game might be
the
last
one. Yeah, that's
right.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're exactly right. Because, you know, everybody, you know, not everybody goes every game. Right. And even season ticket holders don't go to every game, right? Because you get in those November, you get the 49ers game last year. It's like, you know what, I'm giving them to the kids, right? So, it'll be quite a moment.
It's kind of why, too, it kind of sounds like they're doing, like, there's the finale, and they'll be wearing the red helmets, but even Pete Guelly's talked about this. Like, the whole season will be the celebrating, like, the end of the stadium.
And it's going to be kind of cool, too, because at some point, and I don't know when it's going to be, maybe in April, for all I know, or maybe one of the game, or maybe if it all falls, all our hopes and dreams are fulfilled in the AFC Championship games in our building. You know, they're going to have some point the big reveal of the new place. You know, they're going to turn the lights on to it when you're coming out, and they're going to pop the lights on it.
Yep.
And say, hey, here we go, you know. My wife laughs at me because I tear up. And I tear up at a good beer commercial. But, you know, when you start thinking about the old joint and, you know, all the, you know, what it's meant to me and most of the guys I played with, it's going to be very meaningful.
Hopefully a meaningful season. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They're all meaningful lately.
Yeah.
And here we are at training camp. So, you know, we were talking about this before you came on. Like, it's kind of the same. I mean, this training camp, Sean McDermott runs a machine at this point. And the only thing we're actually watching is to dodge things like what happened to Harrison.
Right.
Like, get out healthy. The news on him is good enough.
Yeah,
so
it's plenty good. He'll be all right. He'll be ready. He'll be 100% by the time the season rolls up. Maybe a week or week and a half before, you know. He'll be playing in that last preseason game, I would imagine.
How?
So, you know, he's – yeah, you're right. The injury long list is
– it's long.
You know, it's not, it doesn't worry me yet.
Yeah.
It's not time to worry about that stuff, and it's all minor.
How much can a player get mental reps? I mean, maybe as a rookie it's different, but he's going to be in meetings. He's going to be still keeping up on stuff but not get the game speed stuff. Can he reasonably stay with it, and can a player ever kind of maybe get more – because they say that in hockey, right? Go sit in the press box and get a look at it, and it'll click a little bit better. How valuable can mental reps be?
They can be extremely valuable, but it depends on the guy. Some guys can't do that. You know, some guys don't learn that way. You do whatever you can to stay engaged. Certainly everybody does that, but some guys struggle not walking through it, not being on the field. And some guys, read it on the paper and they've got it. Some guys watch it on the film and they've got it. Some guys walk through it and they've got it. But this coaching staff's really good, and this development crew, this is why they're so – that's why they get guys that nobody else gets. They throw it at them every way they can possibly learn, and so they pick it up. It's up to Max, and it depends on who and how Max is put together as to whether he can continue to get a little better while he's not practicing. And he can. Some guys can. If he's like that, he will. But that remains to be seen. But it is, you know, it's a big degree of difficulty more, you know, for him to do it without being out there.
Part of the good news is that, by all accounts, Tre'Davious White has looked really good out here.
Yeah, yeah. McDermott told me, last year, 2 years ago, he never wanted anybody to go someplace else and play better football than they do here. Mm-hmm. That's certainly true with Tre'Davious. It was true of Jordan Phillips. It was true of, you know, all these guys. A lot of guys who have left, Boogie Basham, guys who went someplace and played. And that's a real testament to Sean and the program they got here. And Tre'Davious is probably going to be there. Now, you can throw a lot of the injury problems he had and he's dealing with it, you know, when he left and through the two teams he was with last year, L.A. and Baltimore. But you can tell he's just refreshed to be back on this field with these guys in this program, you know, and I think this is the best place for him. I think he realizes it. And now that he's come back, he feels invigorated by it. So I think you're seeing that in his play.
How do you feel like it all sets up for them? The roster, the way it's constructed, the way the offseason went, the division, their schedule. It does feel like if they're ever going to get home field advantage in the playoffs, that this year it's kind of set up for them.
Yeah. The one seed's on the table for sure. I think you got to feel like that. I vividly remember we had that on our menu when I was playing back in the day. It's a big goal, and the first one, you got to win the division and do all of that, but you want to win every game you're out there. The biggest game for me and the toughest one's going to be that opening game. If they come out of that game, even though it's at home, if they come out of that game against Baltimore with a win, they're a wagon, they're a steamer, because Baltimore has a great roster, an elite quarterback, and they are going to be boiling over as to what happened last time they were in the building when they got put out of the playoffs. You remember that. Right. That's going to be a big advantage for Baltimore coming in here on opening day. So if the Bills – and I imagine it'll be a tough game and all that, but if the Bills can come out of that game, opening day, with a win, it says a lot about what they're going to be able to withstand, because that is a good team in Baltimore, an elite quarterback, a great coaching staff, an established program, a successful program, and off the charts motivated to beat this particular team. That's a lot. That's a lot. So you'll get a big measuring stick on opening night. Now, I'm not saying, you know, the Bills are going to get their doors blown off. I don't think that'll happen. But that's a hard game to win.
It's nice that it's at home. And like you mentioned, like, you win that game. I know Kansas City's there too and there are other teams. But if you're thinking about Baltimore specifically, you win that game, you get the tiebreaker for the whole season for that one season.
You know they're going to be there.
It's like a two-game lead.
You know they're going to be there.
Right, for sure.
I mean, you know, you feel like Baltimore's kind of – you win your division, I get all that. But for this team, and like Baltimore, you're playing against the other division winners. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to stay ahead of the Chiefs. You got to stay ahead of Baltimore. You got to stay ahead of Houston or Jacksonville, whoever's going to win the South. You know, all of those teams, you got to stay on top of to get the one seed. So that's kind of your division, is the other division leaders, right? So we'll see if they can do it. But, this team needs – all they need to do, really, is simple, is win their last game. Because they're going to be in the tournament. If you win that game, you got to win the next game. You know, win your last game instead of, you know, having a bad spot on a fourth down.
We focus a lot on the Ravens and the Chiefs. Who's the fourth team this year, do you think? The fourth great – if there's a fourth great AFC team, we talked a little bit about this morning. Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, who's most likely to enter that little club, little division?
It's a good question. It might be the Chargers or it might be Denver. I think the Patriots are going to be significantly better, but hard to say that now. Cincinnati, I think they struggle with self-sabotage. Like the Jets do, but I think it's I think it's going to be one of those teams from the West because they're striving to beat Kansas City. That's a high bar, so they shoot high. And they've got that division with Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and Sean Payton.
Yeah, four Super Bowl winners.
Yeah, that's a tough division. So maybe one of those teams gets it together. I like Bo Nix. We saw him here in the playoffs. I was just watching that playoff game, you know, last day or two. Yeah, he's got some stuff. He's got some juice. They need to use him a little differently, I think. I don't think Sean Payton's used to having a quarterback that's an athlete. They need to maximize that a little more. Keep him safe, but still put more pressure on the defense doing that. But, yeah, I think it's one of those teams.
Steve Tasker with us here at St. John Fisher. We skipped over. We didn't get to. It was a storyline coming into camp. Hasn't been much of one. Now, James Cook, like expectations for his year – that could have been a really noisy distraction. Turns out it was just kind of like a storyline in the preseason, offseason, I should say. And here we are, like, all right, let's see what he's got. He wants more responsibility. Will they give it to him? Will he earn that? Like, what do you expect from James Cook this year?
I expect more of the same. In the games that I've been watching, I was surprised at myself that, you know, yes, he's a great player, really good player. But he's a running back, right? So the ease of replacement is there, and how plentiful they are is there. But then you go back and look, and you're in a snow game against San Francisco, and it's a tight game. You get a turnover, and you finally kind of, you know, you're in a dogfight, and all of a sudden he snaps off a 65-yarder. See you later. Mm-hmm. Game's over. The guy's unbelievable. He's a really good running back. And they have done a really nice job of keeping him right around 220, 25 touches. If you want to make $15 million a year, $20 million a year like the other guy, you got to have 300-plus touches. The Bills don't run their offense like that. I don't know. I'm a million miles away from any negotiations or any information about what they do, but you can tell that the Bills – love the guy, and they've communicated that to him and probably done it tangibly, not with money, but with at least saying, hey, here's what we're thinking. Even if you get hurt this year, we'll give you at least this contract, right? So he probably feels like he has a safety net and he can go out and play his best football knowing that the Bills are going to be on there whether he's hurt or not because they like him. So maybe they did that. I don't know. It seems like a good idea to me because they do like him. And his career's not going to be over if he has a knee injury or whatever. So you want the guy on your field. And it's best for him, too, to go out and kill it again this year because he will be a free agent, and then he will. I mean, he'll make life-changing money. So maybe that happened. I don't know. It makes some sense to me, but we'll see.
Good news on the injury front. Dawson Knox and Tyrell Shavers appear to be back and practicing today.
Yeah, I knew Shavers was going to be his low ankle and stuff. And Dawson, yeah, same thing. A lot of soft tissue stuff, you know, Van Perren Granger and
Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. That stuff doesn't really bother me too much. And I say this too: it seems like it goes around every year. And Ed Abramowski, the Hall of Fame trainer for the Bills over 40 years or however long Eddie did it, he used to say, he goes, "We'll go." He goes, "It's just the way it is." He goes, "You'll go 5 years and you'll never see a turf toe, and then all of a sudden you got six of them." In 1 year. Last year, we'll go 4 years without ever having anybody hurt their wrist, and we had three or four of them last year. It's that way. And I'll say one thing. It is a little bit systemic when you get a bunch of guys getting the same injuries because they're all on the same program, you know, and when they start turning up the adrenaline and out and competing, all of a sudden the same thing pops on everybody. There's a little bit of that going on, I think, but – this whole crew is pulling the same direction from Sean and these guys all the way down through, you know, the guys cutting the grass. It's you're right. You said it before. It's a machine out here.
Yeah. Two come in, one out. Cole Bishop not practicing today with a quad injury. So we'll see how that goes.
Quickly, before we let you go, I want to – Marv Levy's 100th birthday.
Yes,
is
Friday, tomorrow.
Coming up. I was just actually reading
a story. The party's tomorrow.
He did an interview with the Rochester Business Journal, and he's like, I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal. It's just a one with two zeros behind it. But certainly
– seems like a big deal.
Bills fans, maybe the Hall of Fame too. The story I'm reading is he might be the first Hall of Famer to ever celebrate 100th birthday. Everyone else will be making a big deal of it, for sure.
Absolutely. Well – yeah, he has cut, over 100 years, has cut a wide swath. There's a lot of people who love him and respect him, and he's affected positively hundreds of people, guys like me and all the guys he coached throughout the years, and even since he quit coaching. You know, the way he's mentored and been available and been this kind of, you know, this elder statesman. He's a Hall of Fame human being. You know, he has made a difference for a lot of guys. So I'm going to go down. It's in Canton.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go down just tomorrow, just for a little while.
Yeah.
I'm not staying or anything, but I'm going to go down and say hello to him and awesome. Just for a minute. And it's just, you feel like you need to. And you know, me and some of the old guys, we went to Chicago last summer for his 99th, and we spent the weekend with him, and we actually watched the Bills Houston game together.
Right.
So, it's going to be cool. And congratulations to Marv. He's a phenomenal guy, and the outpouring you see is so genuine from everybody who's involved. So I think that's as big a testament to how cool a guy he is than anything else.
Thanks for stopping by. We'll be listening today for One Bills Live.
Yeah, we'll see you guys around. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
You too.
Steve Tasker, back for Extendo Sports to close things out and hand it off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show that's coming up here on WGR.